One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Episode 31, Calmology, Mind Detox, Creating Calm, and Meditation with Sandy Newbiggin. Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy Podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high-vibe, soul-soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you. Sandy is a multi-best-selling author of 12 books, a meditation teacher, mind detoxer, monk, and creator of the globally used Calmology meditation and mentoring techniques. His work has appeared on television internationally, and he has qualified practitioners in his methods from over 20 countries. He's dedicated his life to providing that peace is possible for anyone, and stillness is the secret to success. Hi, Sandy.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for joining me. We have been trying to make this happen for quite a while. I'm so glad to finally have you as a guest on the show. I don't know how it has taken us so long, but also how it's taken me so long to actually do an episode fully and wholly on meditation, bringing in the calm and the peace. And you are the king. The absolute king of this area, 12 books in your bag, your own method, you're kind of the master of the mind. I remember we spoke 6 months ago. We ended up speaking for hours and hours and hours about everything to do with the mind, and I was so inspired. So thank you. I'm super excited to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Firstly, I like to do this with kind of all of my guests and talk about their story a little bit as to why you found yourself where you found yourself. I know you have a pretty incredible story with your own battles, both mentally and physically with health, but also some experiences that you've been through and actually like training with monks and all of that amazing stuff. So if you could share, I guess, your journey with us as to like how you've ended up doing what you're doing and being this absolute master of meditation, that would be amazing.
Thank you. It is important to recognize that I didn't start off being the king of calm as you referred to me earlier. I had chronic anxiety, I had eating disorder, I had insomnia, I had repeated heartbreak and bullying. A lot of bullying went on in my younger years, and there was just loads of stuff that just was leading to me not being peaceful, happy, or whatever. So long story short, I do the whole university thing. I graduate, I get a consultancy job. Everyone says I'm successful because I'm lucky, but I didn't feel successful or lucky because I was obviously wasn't doing what I wanted, wasn't happy, blah, blah. I ended up being on TV in 30 countries doing therapy technique that I accidentally created. And again, everyone kept telling me, oh, you're so successful. You know, you're on TV in 30 countries. You're only in your mid-20s and you've got best-selling books out with mainstream publishers and self-help. And I honestly felt like a fraud because although I was talking a lot about helping other people to be happy, I didn't feel completely happy myself. Quite the opposite, in fact. And so I went along and just hung out with a friend one day, and they said, you know, you look a bit stressed and unhappy, Sandy. Have you tried meditation? And I was like, oh, I can't meditate. And they said, how do you know you can't meditate? And it was such a powerful opening question.
Yeah.
How do you know you can't meditate? Because everyone else up until that point had always agreed with me that meditation was hard. And then suddenly this person's challenging me going, how do you know? And I thought about it for a little while and said, well, I can't stop my mind. You know, anytime I try to meditate, my mind just goes haywire. And I feel uncomfortable, blah, blah. And they said, well, you don't have to stop your mind to experience peace by meditating. And that confused me like no end. You know, you don't have to stop your mind to experience peace when meditating. And every book I'd read, every guru I'd watched on YouTube or workshop I'd attended, they were always talking about stillness and peace of mind and silence and things like that. So I assumed I had to shut my head up in order to experience peace. And so, confused but curious, I went along to learn to meditate. And it was an amazing course. And long story short, it motivated me to eventually go off and meditate with the monks that taught me, become a monk myself.
Wow.
And meditate for thousands of hours. You know, during my meditation teacher training, I was basically meditating day and night for 18 hours a day.
Wow.
And so I really got to dive into meditation. And what I try to share, you know, in conversations like this with you, Becky, is from living experience, you know, not from books, but from actually, what is it like to actually close your eyes for extended periods of time? And what can I learn from that and pass on to other people so that they can get a similar benefit without actually having to spend months, you know, up a mountain meditating like I did. So I don't know if that gives you a bit of a story.
But, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing journey. And it's interesting that you've been through kind of all of those elements that I know so many of my audience are dealing with or have dealt with, you know, the anxiety. You know, I've spoken about it so many times before with myself in terms of heartbreak. I think heartbreak is not spoken about enough. I think there's a lot of talk about social media and there's a lot of talk about childhood wounds and kind of all of those things. But for me, I think heartbreak is one of the most unspoken things in the industry that brings up all those childhood wounds and brings up all those areas. So I think that's really interesting. And I guess we're going to start simply by saying, like, you talk about peace and calm there. You kind of mention what it feels like. What do we mean when we talk about feeling peaceful and being calm? Like, what does that actually mean? And how does that actually feel?
Well, it doesn't mean what we often think it does. Mm. I, for the longest time, thought that peace was the absence of emotion. What do I mean by that statement? I thought peace was the absence of emotion and peace was the absence of thought. In other words, I had to get rid of my thoughts and get rid of any intense emotions in order to experience this void or this non-emotional, non-thought state. And to be honest, that's a myth. Thank God it's a myth because, listen, we are humans and we're going to have thoughts and we're going to have emotions. And if we are putting our peace on hold until these bugger off one day, finally, hopefully, then we might be waiting a very long time. What is peace? Peace is a state of being. What is peace? Peace is who you really are. What is peace? Peace is what the presence of the present moment feels like. When we leave the present moment, when we go into thoughts and thinking and start thinking about the past, future, even if we're thinking about now, we're still one step removed from the moment because the moment has to have happened for the mind to know what's happened so it can think about it. Yeah. So even when the mind's thinking about now, the moment's already moved on. So the mind is always late. The thinking mind that I'm referring to is always a little bit out of the present moment. Sometimes it's really obvious because we're dwelling on something that happened earlier this week or 20 years ago. Sometimes it's obvious if we're anxious about something that might happen later.
Yeah.
But even if we're thinking about now, we're missing the moment. And so how do we get back to peace? We need to get back to the moment in time and space where peace exists, which is right here, right now. And the cool thing about that is that you can't help but bump into who you really are and answer that big question, who am I, at the same time as discovering peace. Because like I said earlier, who you really are is peace. And so all roads kind of end up pointing very quickly back to the present moment. So peace is something that can only be experienced now. And if you're ever planning to experience peace or trying to figure out how to experience peace, then that's a flag. That's kind of like, I'm never going to find it in my thoughts. Thinking about it, planning for how to do that. You know, I share techniques and stuff to bring us back to the present moment. And in doing so, we accidentally immediately end up experiencing peace. And we discover who we really are.
Essentially, what you're saying is the peace is all about being in the present moment right this second. So I have like massively really learned the power of that the last few months with a lot of stuff that I've had going on. And the way that my year started was just completely how it was unexpected to start. I started it in the midst of a cyclone in Thailand and it brought up a lot of fears for me. And I was on my own and I was like, shit, I might die. And I was reading The Power of Now as well at that time. And I was like, people were talking to me about focus on now and explain what that means in terms of focusing on now. So how, when we're looking at the future, we're obviously maybe anxious. And if we're looking in the past, we're holding on to emotions. But what happens in daily life if you're, for example, I'm planning my year ahead, mm-hmm. how can you stay in that peaceful state of the now when you're planning something for the future?
How do you plan for the future and be present? Well, you're going to discover through really playing with being present is that your attention can remain and rest upon the present moment occurring as you plan for your future. Your attention doesn't need to leave now in order for you to do that. We think we do have to leave now to go into our head and start planning and strategizing and stuff. Before this call, I just booked some tickets to Mexico. Now, the whole time I was booking that and planning it and going, okay, so what dates am I going to go and what's the implications on the work that I'm doing during that period and all that sort of stuff, my attention continued to be on this moment, what was happening right now, what was being presented right now, which was the laptop when I was outside on my balcony here and the view and the temperatures and the sun changing and the clouds and all that sort of stuff. I was fully present to that. And I was engaged on the task at hand, which happened to be planning some future thing. So really it boils down to attention, recognizing that your attention can remain rooted in the present moment, attentive to only what's happening now. And from there, you can plan. How do you do that really mechanically?
Yeah.
It requires a new relationship with thoughts and thinking. Because usually when a thought appears within our awareness, we identify with it, we become that thought, and we start thinking. So if I was going to just make a definition for you, the difference between thoughts and thinking is unobserved thought. What does that mean? It means when we're thinking, we're lost in our mind. We're lost in a story. And when doing that, we start feeling our thinking. And so if it's an anxious story, we start feeling anxious. If it's a sad story, we start feeling sad because we're identified and we're now feeling our thinking. You can be remaining gently alert to the present moment occurring. Thoughts can appear, but you don't feel them or care even what thoughts are occurring because you're not so identified with them. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So meditation, peace, being present, it's about healing and improving your relationship with thoughts and thinking, i.e. the mind. Through the process, you can't help but bump into, like I said, who you really are, which is this peaceful presence of being. How do you actually do it? Well, you have to come back to awareness and become self-aware. By self-aware, I mean aware of the aspect of yourself that is aware. So I don't mean, oh, well, I'm self-aware because I know all my beliefs and my attitudes and my behavior patterns. I'm not talking about that awareness. I'm talking about this inner awareness that's within you right now. The awareness is aware of your thoughts. The awareness is aware of your emotions. The awareness is aware of your body. The awareness is aware of this podcast. The awareness is aware of this moment occurring. Through meditation, you're learning to rediscover and rest into that awareness that's aware. What happens when you do that? You start to experience that awareness rather than just feel your thinking all day. And you discover that that awareness that's aware is always still, always silent, always vast and full yet empty. And a word you'd use to describe that is peace. It's always at peace. This awareness is aware. So how do I say this slightly differently? Well, this is really amazing. What if the awareness is aware of anxiety isn't anxious? What if the awareness is aware of sadness isn't sad?
Yeah.
What if the awareness is aware of worry isn't worried? So you discover that this awareness that's observing these positive and negative thoughts and these memories from the past that might be negative or hurtful or the future, anxiety stuff. Mm-hmm. If you can rest into the awareness that's aware, you get to experience peace and life, essentially. Peace and thought, peace and emotion, peace and health condition, peace and relationship breaking down, peace and busy day at work. You can have peace and so that's really my philosophy that I'm trying to put on the map, you know, peace and.
You're essentially saying to like step away and watch yourself. You're bringing awareness to what you're thinking and your feelings are. Is that what you're saying? You're essentially saying that bringing awareness to your awareness is the key.
You're resting into that which is aware of thoughts. You're resting into that which is aware of emotion. See, it's a fine line between this and subtly thinking about what your thoughts are, thinking about your emotions, thinking about your body. And you think you're aware, but actually you're just subtly thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I share lots of the techniques in order to help people to actually just engage awareness. Engage, go straight for that. Engage the awareness now and immediately notice what happens. The mind becomes more quiet. There might be energy in the body, but there's no suffering. So you have peace and emotion. And that's why I said right at the beginning, you know, peace is not the absence of emotion. As long as you're waiting for these emotions to go away, you know, I still have intense energy in my body. But what I've learned to do, what I used to call anxiety is actually, and I'm not just playing with words here, it genuinely always was my inner power. Because it was intense and because I didn't know it was what it was, I called it anxiety, and I forever tried to suppress my inner power. Like, the more I can let that energy be present within me and I have a peace with the energy that I used to call anxiety, the more it actually helps me to perform, to heal, to transform, to say what needs said, do what needs done, you know, manifest, create. Mm-hmm. We all need energy for all of these things that people want to do. Yeah. Yet half the time they're suppressing their emotions, the very emotion that's rising up to help them to create it.
So, wow. I've never had that explained to me in that way. Because do you think that's relevant for everyone? So I'm doing a lot of work at the moment about turning on your light. That's something that really resonates with me, with like lighting up your light is a big thing that's played a big part of my whole life. And I've like positioned mm-hmm. it into a group coaching program called Get Lit, essentially. Do you think that everyone has that inner power? So that's like really hit me hard that you've just said that your inner power is what your anxiety was. And I've always believed that I have this like immense inner power, I guess, and ability and feeling, but I never really knew what to do with it. And even still, sometimes when I'm channeling it in the right way, things are amazing. Things go off. They go where they need to go. And then I notice that other times I'm super anxious with it. Like that feeling, I can't get it to go away. I know it's my power and I know I'm not anxious about anything bad, or it's not the anxiety I used to have when I was unaware. It's more that it's an anxiety now around just a total like energy. Is that the same?
What you're calling anxiety comes from your mind judging that energy is bad, wrong, shouldn't be there, and then a reactive resistance to it. And so it's the resistance to it based upon some sort of negative judgment of this is wrong, bad, worse, shouldn't be present within me, shouldn't, you know. It's that that actually creates the discomfort, and I put in apostrophes, you know, suffering in relationship with the energy. Yeah. If you can heal your relationship with the energy, and the mind, a lot of people, if you've got anxiety and you're listening to this, you could be really pissed off at me right now because you're like, no, you don't understand how I feel. This is not my power. I'm going to switch off. I urge you to explore this in your life, because if you can harness that energy that you maybe have just not been taught is a good thing. It needs to be present within you. It has as much right to be in you as your lungs, liver, and lunch. That energy needs to be there. It needs to be there for you to serve your purpose for being born. And the quicker you can stop judging it as wrong or bad or shouldn't be there, and the quicker you can stop subtly resisting it, even it might not be obvious, but you can resist it, you'll start to have a different relationship with it. Let me share very quickly a little analogy in relationship with anxiety, intense emotion, and living your purpose. Mm-hmm. So I want you to imagine this old, like Orient Express steam train, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's a movie. So we pan into the dining carriage and there's like piano playing, and there's waiters with their, you know, the white cloth over their arm, and you know, the chinkling of cutlery and crystal and all that, and piano in the background and stuff, and it's a lovely time. And then you pan out of that restaurant, you go along the outside of the steam train, and you go into the front of the train where the engine is, and suddenly you've got this pretty intense scene. You've got these guys and gals, you know, covered in suit, little hats on, and they've got their shovels, and they're opening up this, you know, door, and there's this furnace inside, you know, really intense furnace. And without that intensity, without that intense energy, this wouldn't be the Orient Express. It wouldn't be a train. It wouldn't be able to go anywhere. It could be a restaurant, but it wouldn't fulfill the purpose for which it was built, which was actually to be the Orient Express.
Yeah.
And it's the same with us. If we don't heal the relationship we have with our emotions, we often play small to avoid how life might make us feel. And we never actually use the energy, because we're too busy trying to suppress it, to actually give us inspiration, creativity, help us to heal, have the energy to create, do, and transform, or whatever. And so it's really important. I know it's not really the topic we started talking about at the beginning, but this healing your relationship with emotions, I'm so passionate about it, because for years I suffered from what I thought was anxiety, and now I just see it as my life force, and it's a really good thing.
It's really perfect as well for the way that this series is going, because we started off the series with another great lady talking about being in her soul, and essentially what I'm piecing together here is you're saying it flows so perfectly in this series. I'm actually smiling because it's going to be perfect for the audiences. But essentially what you're saying is our life purpose, our present, our who we are right this second, our life is what peace really is what calm really is what we're basically trying to strive for, is essentially what you're saying, is that we all just need to learn to be us and be our life purpose, living in our who we're meant to be.
Yeah. I would agree. I would say it's kind of twofold. You've got your primary principle life purpose, which is to wake up and to know who you really are. You're not the voice in your head. You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You're not your body. You're not your finances. You're not your career job title. You're not your circumstances. You are something much greater, much more permanent than these temporary transient things that pass through your awareness every day. You are that awareness. It's aware of all of it happening.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the awareness. Let's keep it really simple. You're that awareness. And when you discover that awareness, you discover peace and you go beyond judgment. You go beyond the mind and you immediately have no reason. You are naturally happier. You love because judgment's no longer standing in the way. And so much good stuff comes from getting to know who you really are. So I'd say that's your primary purpose. Get to know who you really are. Secondary to that is actually what you're here to do with your day, what you're here to do with your life, which are not the same thing necessarily. What you're here to do, why you were born, well, there's different ways you can discover that, but the quickest way to discover that is to get to know who you really are, because from that space, you stop managing and controlling life so much that you're actually willing for life to show you what you're here to do. You're led more by life. You let the loving hand of the universe guide you through your day, as opposed to you getting dragged towards your purpose because it doesn't line up with what you believe should be happening with your life. And so what I find in my own experience, and I see it in so many of my clients that I coach on this, is that you get to know your real self, who you really are. You discover peace and happiness and joy and love. And therefore, everything that you do with your day is kind of a bonus, because before we were trying to do all that stuff so we could eventually experience peace, love, joy, happiness, right? And so the tables turn the minute you get to know who you are, because now the pressure's off life. Everything's a bonus. And so you're no longer so scared of what might happen or attached to what you think will make you happy or whatever. You're less resistant to life and you go with the flow more. And you will find normally, like almost looking back on it, oh, that's what I was here to do, because it's you're not even having to plan or strategize. It's just being presented. So you have what I call inspiration. And inspiration is a thought about something you might want to do or whatever. What's the difference between a thought, like an inspired thought for me, is one that comes with the energy built into that thought to help you make it happen.
Yeah.
So inspiration is a thought, but it has its own built-in energy to help you actually take action and bring it into reality. How cool is that? So we live more from inspiration, immediate knowing, wisdom, clarity, and we don't have to rely on our heads overthinking all the time, which is one of the most harmful habits.
I can always tell when I'm like in flow or living from that kind of, I can tell. Like I did a workshop on Saturday and I was totally in my purpose. And actually the whole workshop was about finding your purpose in business, and that you can't scale your business, grow it, or do anything unless you know what you're here, what your purpose is, what your genius is, all of that sort of stuff. And I was so in flow and I was like, okay, right, go and do an exercise. Let me just check how we're doing for time. Picked up my phone and it was 11:11, and everyone knows I'm obsessed with 11:11. And I was like, wow. And everyone just was like, wow. And I was like, that is what I mean. When you're in flow and you're in purpose, stuff like that happens. But I can also really tell when I'm not in that space and I'm pushing things and I'm resisting things, and I kind of always just check back in. So there's so many questions I want to ask you now, but so you've mentioned some exercises, which obviously I'm assuming meditation is one of them, but how can we truly find who we are? What exercises are there, or what tools do you have in place? I'm sure there's people listening to this like, okay, cool, already went and good, but how do I find out who I am? Because they're thinking in their mind, trying to figure it out. How can they really get into tune with that?
Well, there's a couple of things they can do immediately. Absolutely immediately. The first thing, although it might sound secondary or not that important, actually it's vital. The first thing you need to do is to make peace your priority. You need to make peace a priority in your life. Now, it might sound flowery or whatever, but actually the minute you actually prioritize your peace and you go, actually, no, you know, this is really important to me.
Yeah.
You immediately stop exchanging your peace for stupid shit. Mm-hmm. You stop exchanging your peace for being right. You stop exchanging your peace for being on time. You stop exchanging your peace for having a different looking body. You stop exchanging your peace for feeling differently, believe it or not. You stop exchanging your peace for being liked or loved by everyone on the planet. You stop exchanging your peace. You start making that your peace more important than all these things. And actually, you're going to find very quickly your day starts filling up with more peace because you stop giving away and making other things more important. Okay. Now, your career, your money, your health, all these things can be important, but peace needs to be a little bit more important if you want to experience it. Honestly, it might sound like
it's incredible.
It's actually a really practical thing that you can start doing in your life and go, where am I making things more important? Stuff that is not going to be important 6 months, let alone a year from now. What am I making more important than my peace? And if I eradicate that, naturally you would find more stillness and calm in your life.
I love that. Because it picks up your like self-respect a bit as well, doesn't it? Like even when you're talking about that, you're kind of like, I'm prioritizing myself over anything that doesn't serve me and make me peaceful.
Yeah, and people go, well, I want other things other than peace. It's like, great, but is it not selfish to just make my peace more important? You know, there's lots of questions that it throws up, but I would say it's the most selfless thing you do. Why? Mm-hmm. Because to prioritize your peace, you have to surrender.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Your ego. Ego is the sense of self, the beliefs and the voice and the who you think you are and who you're trying to protect and who you're trying to become. That's all ego. You know, you don't need to become anything when you know who you really are, because you know you're already infinite and you're one with the source of life. You know, you're one with the source of life. You don't need to become or prove anything. Your lovability, your worthiness, you are home in the heart of life, and you're living from the peace that is the presence of the present moment. So it's pretty freaking awesome, to be honest. Yeah. You know, when you're experiencing peace, everyone benefits. Everyone that you meet, it's not selfish to prioritize your peace, because if you're more peaceful, by peaceful, I'm using that word, but if it's love that you want, prioritize your love. If it's inner love, I'm talking about, from external sources, that's a different topic. If it's happiness you want, prioritize your happiness or joy or connection or whatever it might be for you, whatever floats your boat, make that a priority. And you'll find that if you're experiencing it, everyone you meet in a daily basis benefits. Of course they do. Your friends and family are going to be far better off than if you're anxious or angry or frustrated or discontented, or, you know, you're just a nice person to be around. Everyone benefits if you prioritize your peace. So that's the fundamental first thing you can do.
Yeah.
And there's obviously other exercises. I don't know how much time we've got, but there's other things you can do to do that.
It's amazing how much there's actually been a lot of talk in a lot of these podcasts about how other people are affected by you being in your peace. And I've been really honest with people that I felt like a lot of last year, even though I knew I was making steps to where I wanted to be, I was still frustrated quite a lot and I was letting that energy off. Whereas I feel like I've totally found my flow this year and I know exactly what I'm doing, what I'm meant to be doing, how I am, what I am. And people are like, you're glowing. I want to be around you. You know, they're swarming to me. And it's so interesting that even though I'm happy, all of a sudden everyone else wants to kind of come to me. So I can totally relate to what you're saying. And we've spoken a lot about, you've talked about your thinking mind and your ego. Give us a little download on, like, we're massively going off on a tangent here and I might just rename the podcast, but that's fine. This is obviously where it was meant to go. But I think it's important anyway. So you're talking about your thinking mind. why are we so resistant? Your thinking mind often is what creates your resistance, right? The ego is what is creating our existence. So can you kind of explain that a little bit? Because I feel like when you touched on, I can't meditate in your story and it's so hard, I get that from a lot of people that I speak to and a lot of my audience is just being like, why can't I do this? Why am I resisting this kind of feeling of feeling peaceful?
Well, the mind loves being the center of attention. The ego loves being like the main star in this show. So it kind of kicks up a fuss when we start to see that actually there's life beyond the ego. There's life beyond thinking. And it's liked being the center of attention. Now, don't get me wrong. Ultimately, there is no separate intelligence within you trying to mess with your day or mess with your enlightenment or mess with your peace. Mm-hmm. The ego is really just a bunch of thoughts. When we're lost in the ego, we're basically lost in thinking. And I would never give the ego more power than ultimately it's just an unseen thought that I'm giving my attention to. People think they have to defeat this ego. It's not that hard if you realize ultimately the ego is the sum total of the current thought. And the current thought you're thinking just gives the impression of this separate ego that's trying to sabotage you or mess with your peace or whatever. To defeat the ego in modern terms is simply a gentle withdrawal of attention. If you want to master your mind, you want to master your life, you want to master your ego, you need to master the ability to place your attention where you want it. Essentially, if you want to master your mind, you want to master your emotions, you want to master your ego, you want to master your life or whatever, you need to master where you put your attention. Most people, before they start to meditate, have a very weak attention muscle. I'm not trying to be rude, but it's just the way it is. Our attention is just getting grabbed by the next thought, the next emotion, the next advert outside, or the next thing in our social media feed. Attention's just jumping all over the place. And we need to be able to strengthen our attention muscle so it can rest without effort upon the present moment. So the reason people find meditation difficult to begin with is because they have a weak attention muscle. So yeah. They try to tune into the present moment, but immediately their attention fades. And when the attention fades from the present moment, the mind becomes active. Yeah. And they get caught up in thoughts and thinking. And they think, oh, this isn't working. Strengthening your attention is very much like going to the gym. You go to the gym for the first time in years, that 10 kilo weight feels really heavy. And you maybe do 10 reps and it takes a lot of effort. But you keep going every day, that weight, it's the same weight, but it becomes lighter. It becomes easier. It takes less effort to lift it. And so it's the exact same thing with meditation. If you meditate a couple times a day for 15, 20 minutes, every day, before you know it, your attention muscle becomes stronger and it takes less effort to stay present and stay in the present moment. So you can achieve the same goal, but it takes less effort. Is that clear?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, again, flows so perfectly in this series.
So this leads me to the thing I'm trying to say with it comes to the meditation is a lot of people think they're feeling at meditation because they're having thoughts or having emotions or, you know, they fall asleep sometimes or whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that they find meditation difficult is because they care about what happens when they're meditating.
Yeah.
They care about how many thoughts there were, how they felt, what happened in their body, if there was noise outside in the street or someone arguing next door or whatever. And they care about what happens when they're meditating. And that's mm-hmm. what you're aiming to transcend through meditation, to transcend the part of you that cares.
So they're defeating the whole point of it.
Yeah, because ultimately the question is not what happened when I meditated. It's was I aware of what happened? You know, if you start to engage meditation from this perspective of, all right, so meditation is basically a tool to practice being present and let whatever wants to happen, happen during my meditation. Great. So that's it. So I don't care so much now about what happens. My job's to let whatever wants to happen, happen and just make sure I'm present to it. Mm. And then you do that, you know, a couple of times a day and you keep doing it over a period of time. Before you know it, your attitude and healthier relationship with your mind and emotions and life starts to bleed out into the rest of your day. So you're more willing for whatever happens in your day to happen, mm-hmm. you know, because you're mastering that skill with your eyes closed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And through the back door, you're also learning to be more present. Therefore, you're not thinking about life so much. You're not feeling your thinking so much. You're actually resting in this awareness much more. And before you know it, there's a surprising amount of peace and freedom in your life. Yeah. And then life really begins.
I mean, it's so eye-opening, and actually for you to say, you know, the problem is that a lot of people try and associate all the things we're trying to remove from the whole point of what meditation is. So does that mean that there's no right or wrong way to meditate? Because that's what I feel like a lot of people ask me, is that, am I getting it right? Do I do it to music? Am I meant to just sit there and breathe? Am I meant to count? Am I meant to think anything? Like, we're taking away all the rights and wrongs, but actually there is a way to meditate, isn't there?
I would say, yeah, you know, there's so many meditations out there. So let me give you my quick guide as to how to know which ones are useful and which ones are most likely just fluff. If you're looking for a meditation, make sure it has these following traits. Number one, there's a focus on inner stillness, silence, or spaciousness. So at the heart of it is this invitation to be more still, silent, but not necessarily stop thoughts. Find the inner presence of stillness. Find the inner presence of silence. Find the presence of being. Mm-hmm. So that'd be one thing to kind of test. Is this doing that? The second thing would be, is this meditation dedicated to helping me master being present? The third thing is this meditation actually having me play in my mind when actually I want to go beyond my mind and experience what's beyond it? So
yeah.
That one is quite a big one, because a lot of meditations fall away at that point, because a lot of them are visualizations. A lot of them are like, you're actually engaging your imagination and stuff. And as long as you're engaging your imagination with meditation, you're not really getting to know the still silent awareness that is beyond the mind and thoughts and imagination. Do you see what I'm saying? So yeah, so if that was your case and that's your initial answer, then I would say, you know, make sure you use a meditation that's focused on making you rock solidly present and helping you discover stillness. Why am I keep talking about stillness and silence? Well, because the mind cannot mimic stillness and silence. The mind only exists when it's moving. This might sound a bit random, but basically, if you're experiencing an inner presence of stillness and silence and spaciousness, at that moment in time, you are beyond the mind. You're beyond the ego. Experientially, you're not just tricking yourself with a mind game, because you're actually in an experience the mind can't create.
Yeah.
The mind is thoughts and movement and imagination and memories and the voice in your head that talks about things. And these are all moving, if that makes any sense. And they have the appearance of sound. So make sure you're cultivating a relationship with stillness and silence and strengthening your intention muscle to be present. You remind me of a quote at the back of my new book, Mind Detox. And it says, "Of course, there is no formula for life except perhaps an unconditional acceptance of life and what it brings." That's by a guy called Arthur Rubinstein, I think is how you say that. Well, like, that's how I ended the book. So when you said earlier, there's not really a right or wrong way to meditate, I'm like, well, I would make sure you choose a meditation that helps you to, again, be still and be present and strengthen your attention muscle and not just play in your mind and have a nice moment, just play in a prettier part of your mind, but don't actually go beyond it.
And keep doing it.
Yeah, meditation becomes self-perpetuating once you actually prioritize your peace. Mm-hmm. And that's why that was number one.
Yeah, I love that so much.
And the number two, once you prioritize your peace, use it for a meditation that actually gives you an experience of peace. Then you're going to want to do it, you know, because it's nice. It's enjoyable.
Talking about your book, explain what the premise is behind that, what it means to detox your mind. And like, I'm just so fascinated in general with how much the mind also affects our health and general overall well-being. But also, you know, you said like everyone uses the example of, we go to the gym and we need to train our minds like we train in the gym, because everyone goes to the gym and everyone's trying to change their physical by being physical. Yet I have seen so much power in the last few months of really tuning in what it feels like to feel healthy and to feel energized and to be slim and to have lost the weight that I'd put on. And I've done that. And I'm a real believer of the fact that it's been my headspace. You know, I don't go to the gym anymore unless I've meditated that day in the morning. And I notice a huge difference in the results that I see in my body. So again, probably a complex question, but starting with the book, Mind Detox, kind of explain what that means to you and where the kind of idea for the book came from.
Well, Mind Detox is actually a technique for changing the mind. I've written Mind Calm, Body Calm, and Calm Cure. These books are really more about what we've been talking about the rest of this conversation.
Yeah. And they form your method of Calmology, right?
Yeah. So all four techniques together are this thing called Calmology. Mind Calm helps you get peace with your mind and emotions and discover that you are what you see. You are the peace built in from birth, but you've just been distracted because you've been too busy thinking about life as opposed to being present. So Mind Calm is all about that stuff. Read that if you want to have a really good understanding of the nature of the mind and why you've been finding peace hard and how it can be easier. Body calm is more about helping your body heal, giving it the rest it needs to recover, improving the communication between the mind-body connection, disengaging the fight-flight-freeze response, and essentially creating such a buoyant and balanced inner environment that health conditions just can't exist because like it's just they don't have any soil to take root in. So that's body calm. They're both meditations, mind calm and body calm. At the heart of them, they're different meditation techniques.
Okay.
Calm cure is a technique about helping to get peace with whatever happens in your life. You know, we're told to let go and surrender and accept and all these sorts of nice spiritual concepts, but we've been conditioned to do the exact opposite. We've been conditioned that if I get what I want, my tail wags and I feel happy. But if I don't get what I want and life doesn't show up how I think it should, I resist it. I suffer, I get stressed, I get angry or whatever. So calm cure is about how do I get peace with whatever happens in my life, which is amazingly liberating once you like, you know, you're totally willing to experience whatever shows up.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Mind detox is me going back to my roots. You know, I first created mind detox method, which is a form of resolving past events in order to heal beliefs, toxic beliefs, and help the body heal and relationships improve and make more money or whatever. So mind detox is less meditation and more of a targeted technique. If you think there's something happening in your body and your life and you don't know why, that's a bad thing that's happening and you don't know why, then mind detox is kind of the go-to tool for finding out why. Why is this happening to me? You know, why is this health condition keep going? You know, what's this persistent problem or whatever? Now, the cool thing with Mind Detox, if it is your starter book with me, if you've never heard me before and you want to get one book, then it's a good book to start with because the publishers asked me to talk about Calmology in the last couple chapters. So I do an overview of everything.
Of everything.
And share about how to improve your relationship with your thoughts and emotions and things like that to end the book, you know? So I have a chapter called The Love Lesson and one called The Freedom Formula. And they're kind of me trying to communicate some of the, more of the philosophies beyond the technique.
I mean, it's quite clear that it's such a complex topic, which is probably why I've never been able to just do one on just purely that, because there are so many areas I always want to go into. And I love to do another one with you later on in the series where we go a little bit more into kind of what these concepts are and what your actual teachings are behind it. But I guess if anyone wanted to work with you, I know you've got your programs and you've got your books, obviously, that they can read, but do share how someone can kind of work with you. I know you work one-to-one with people as well, don't you?
Yes, I do one-to-one mentoring. It's of limited availability. So if you see it available on the website, grab it.
Yeah.
But the main thing that I do these days is my Calm Club. I have this online, really affordable membership site for anyone that's generally ready to prioritize their peace. And every month we have an online meditation class. The next one's tonight, actually. I'm recording this. And then every month we have a masterclass and we have themes throughout the year from purpose to emotions to health to relationships to abundance. And also the members vote for the final season of the year as to what they want me to cover and stuff. Amazing. And so we have meditation classes and masterclasses and there's loads of resources and guided meditations. And so if this philosophy resonates with you, then check that out because it's much cheaper than my one-to-one mentoring. And, and you actually get the time because honestly, guys, like, I try to keep things simple, but I don't want to underemphasize the magnitude of what we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
We've been talking about discovering who you really are and ending the compulsion to overthink.
Yeah.
And when you discover who you really are, you discover what it means to be truly alive. And that means everything because we're life for the living, right? And so getting to know who you really are and stopping the lifelong habit of thinking doesn't necessarily happen overnight. And I don't try to make it out to be, but it can be a fun journey as you go about changing these habits and getting to know who you really are. So that's why I created the Calm Clan, because people do generally need some consistent support over a period of time in order to make this life-changing shift. And if you are a therapist or a practitioner or whatever, I have an academy that I teach calmologists. So they actually are able to graduate in these techniques and make an income and make a difference. So there's personal use and there's professional use.
Well, there'll be a lot of professionals listening to this as well, just because of the nature of what I do. So that sounds absolutely amazing. And I think it's just so powerful. I mean, every time I speak to you, I'm like, oh my God, I could speak to you forever. And I think it's just so powerful. There's a lot of talk at the moment about meditation. We're very much moving into this more mindful era and there's a lot of glamorization about it. And I think the key thing here is that you've just said it's not something that happens overnight. You know, I think I was doing a lot of it when I was younger and I didn't even realize and I was trying to stop it. And like, for me, it's been a year-long journey. And I think that's sometimes the initial resistance for people is because they're so used to these quick fixes, these fad diets, these quick ways to feel healthier. that, like you said, this is such a complex topic that we've discussed, and it isn't a case of just finding yourself overnight. I feel like I've been on this journey of finding myself for the last 2 years. And now I really feel like I'm in my purpose and I know what I'm doing, and I'm coaching others to do the same thing in their work. It's really interesting that you say that. So guys, if you are listening, please take that away, and you can hang out with Sandy. I'm sure he won't mind you messaging him on social media. All his links and handles will be in the show notes for this. Check him out on his website, and your membership program sounds amazing. And definitely get the books as well. So thank you so much for joining. I think there will definitely be another episode with you, I'm sure, where we'll be going a little bit deeper on some of this stuff, because
I'd love to come back and talk about the health stuff. I think that we could have a great conversation about the whole mind body connection.
I had a lot of questions about that, and I think that's
how I could feel that it feels almost, we almost feel pregnant with these questions, like we want to, they're ready to come out. And the mind body connection stuff is so,
I think actually we'll get that booked in ASAP, because I think that's a whole topic in itself, because I'm such a believer of that's where the industry is going in terms of actual physical fitness, is how powerful your mind is, how powerful the breath is. And it's kind of featured in a few of the episodes, and I've been building up to it. So it was a lot of the questions that I was going to ask, but I think we'll park that and book in an episode on that, because I think that's so powerful. But thank you so much for joining. You've been amazing.
And thank
guys,
you for having me,
and make sure you check Sandy out. He's phenomenal, and he is one of the few people that I speak to all the time that just like blows my mind whenever I do. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, and thanks guys for listening to us today. I really appreciate your time and attention.
Love that. You're a star. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below, and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.